Last year, about this time, we initiated a series of homilies to examine the seven deadly sins. Remember that? And we've already done five of those. Those were anger, envy, avarice, gluttony, and sloth. And you can listen to these on the website because we recorded them. And if you go to the parish website, you can click on homilies and find them. We still have two more to complete the series, lust and pride. And today we're going to examine the deadly sin of lust. Sin is almost always a personal, selfish decision that separates us from God. All sin is serious, but some sins are more deadly than others. What we call the mortal sins, the capital sins that can kill our souls, separating us from eternal life with God. Now let's remember, there is no eternal life apart from God. Only God is eternal. Nothing else is eternal apart from God. There can be no mortal, no eternal life separated from God. It's unthinkable because only God is eternal. Deadly sin, mortal sin, separates us from God. We lose our eternal life. When we speak of lust, we refer generally to impurity. Impurity is a shameful vice because it changes a good and beautiful force within us into sin, into something evil. Sex is a powerful force. God created sex. Sex can't be sinful, just sex by itself. It's a good thing. God created it. He gave it to men and women as a gift. And it's good and it's blessed when it's used well. But it's very dangerous when it's left undisciplined. God expects us to learn how to control our sexual appetites and desires. The vice of sex is opposed to the virtue of chastity. It's a word we don't use often enough. Say the word chastity. Chastity. Say it again. Chastity. Chastity. Say it one more time. Chastity. I bet that's three more times than you've used it in the entire year. It begins to be the butt of jokes. It's unfortunately our culture has made game with that with the word chastity, but that's because they really haven't understood it. It was defined by St. Thomas Aquinas as the virtue that regulates or controls sensual pleasures and desires of those who are married, but absolutely prohibited to those who are single. So consequently, lust or impurity is seeking illegal pleasure, especially with the sense of touch. And the sins of impurity defile the soul and the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The tabernacle of God destined for the resurrection and eternal life. Impurity wraps itself around all of our senses and through them enters our soul. Self-indulgence is in impure thoughts and actions, arouses us and can arouse others through us. Lust weakens our willpower, clouds our minds, blinds us to spiritual values and virtues. Sex is powerful, and impurity leads us to lose control over that power, self-control, self-discipline. Lustful activities include fornication, adultery, pornography, masturbation. When two persons begin to be attracted to each other, it's often a beautiful, it's a romantic moment, blessed by God, made by God. Love can grow here. And the attraction that they experience is a gift from God. And without this natural attraction, the human race would cease to exist. But this attraction should be subject to self-discipline. When an unmarried man experiences this attraction toward an unmarried woman, both of them should know how to distinguish between a mature love versus a disordered appetite. Mature love builds up the good in their relationship as it matures into friendship. The disordered appetite seeks only self-pleasure and only imitates friendship and love. They really are contrary to each other, and we should know the difference. When sexual relations begin between an unmarried couple, their friendship cannot mature. Their concern for one another is replaced by hunger for one another. And once the sex begins between them, the music changes, and the seduction dance begins. And when they're together, their thoughts are focused upon seduction. And they fail to postpone self-gratification for the greater good of the loving, respectful friendship that can last. And only with this shared self-control that they learn together can they achieve fidelity and the virtue of chastity, so critical to the strength of any future relationship, any future marriage. How can you trust someone who can't control themselves? Who's only controlled by their need for their own pleasure? Their relationship would be built primarily upon their sex life together, not on virtue. Impurity and lust are the same between heterosexuals as between homosexuals. The church makes no distinction. The sin is the same with disordered passions. They're both self-centered and selfish. And these cannot result in any good either for themselves or for their community. And this is how we should look at sexual relationships, through the lens of chastity. Impurity leads to other evils and chaos. Instead of leading to mature love, the heart is hardened in impurity. Because pleasure becomes the objective, and pleasure is self-serving, hardens the heart. Impurity leads to instability in relationships and infidelity. In our own community here, for example, we experience a great deal of a disorder. It translates as free union. In Spanish, it's known as unión libre, which is supposed to be a substitute for a valid marriage. In English, we used to call it shacking up. And people just start living together without formal public marriage commitment. And these free unions are simply hookups for sex without commitment or accountability. And these free unions are not free, and they're not unions. The unión libre is a lie. And these lead to a significant number of tragedies in our community, with increasing probability that more women and children will live in a form of slavery, fear and poverty. Sex without commitment and responsibility is also the cause of a great number of abortions that are also occurring in our community. And abandonment of children, all for personal pleasure, personal satisfaction. I hear it said all too often here in our community that when one of the partners wants out, he or she simply says, "I want to be happy. Don't I have a right to be happy? And they turn their back on their responsibility to their sex partner and any children they may have together. It happens all too often right here in our parish. And it's difficult for these persons to mature morally because they are in the habit of seeking their personal happiness. Union libre, free union, is a dead-end street without any happy ending. The emotion of sex and romance, I've said, is beautiful, but the attraction between lovers can be a dangerous, burning fire. Mankind has learned how to live with this throughout human history. There are all kinds of responses in different groups of people to this danger. Each culture has learned ways to deal with it, to deal with sex without condemning it, to control it. For many parents, going steady or novios is not permitted to young people who don't have any reasonable hope of getting married for economic or age reasons. It's not a reasonable option for them, so going steady should not be an option. And these relationships should be monitored and restricted until young adults are mature and have a good economic situation, allowing for them to assume responsibilities themselves for their sexual activities and any children that may result. Each community should expect parents to handle these situations appropriately. The emotions of sex and romance are not sinful in themselves, I say again. However, every community and every adult should learn to control them in a responsible manner with the virtue of chastity. This is God's expectation of us, to live chaste lives. We should learn to recognize and avoid the things that weaken our chastity. Doesn't matter how old you are, we still need chastity. For example, pornography weakens our self-control at any age. It weakens our willpower. Popular music, movies, and videos that take advantage of this undermine chastity. Make the word chastity even a joke. Even the way we dress undermines chastity within the community and can be dangerous. I'm going to call this out. It's no accident that Muslim women cover themselves and only show themselves to their husbands. That culture understands chastity and modesty. And too often young women in our community have been immodest with clothes that were too short, do not cover them adequately. And the woman who shows too much skin, too much of her legs, too much of her chest and her cleavage has no right to complain or feel violated if men look at her. Who's more responsible? The man who was created by God to be attracted to woman, or the woman who attempts to be attractive and who dresses to reveal too much skin? I'm asking parents in the community to please teach our children to the virtues of modesty and chastity. Too many young girls do not have any idea of the power, the powerful forces that are growing within them as they mature sexually. The girls are imitating what they see in the culture around them, and they desperately need another standard. So I'm going to be asking parents in the community to please teach your boys and girls to understand the forces of nature for their own protection, for their own self-respect, and their respect for other people. If we allow our emotions to control us when we're immature and out of control, we drift into sin. Do not commit the sin of lust. Be pure. Be modest. Be chaste. Learn from our Lord Jesus to live chaste lives.